Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
And I have just the man to do that, sitting right here across from me. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hello. Hi, Scott. How are you this morning?
I'm well, man.
That's good.
And, you know, we just finished talking about a sad thing, a friend of yours losing a dad and someone who was really part of a community, it sounds like, and I just want to express to you and anyone else out there going through anything like that that it's tough. I know where you're at, and I know when a hole seems to be put in the heart and not fillable immediately, it impacts our souls. So, so sorry with you and feeling for you. And all the best to your young friend there who I did meet
some time back. Okay, so, newly married Jonathan. Last time you came on the show, you weren't married.
Is it that? Okay.
I believe so.
We're 6 months in then. Okay, here we go.
I'm pretty sure. And I guess I just wanted to say, where we're talking here about hungry hearts and love and how to hurt in love and all those kinds of things. And you're, properly united in love and so on with your wife Melissa, and I think it's beautiful. But how's it feel? Is it as traumatic as it was when I first tried it?
Well, you know what, we've been well counseled. I think we've had a lot of help, a lot of reading, a lot of discovery on older relationships, people that have been together for a long time, and her parents are a great example, and friends in the church and so on that have kind of mentored us and taken us along. But I think we knew it, what we were coming into. We had a pretty tough engagement, so being married is a relief, I think, from what we were struggling with before. Yeah. And it really helped us with communication. But we call it the love tank. And you gotta fill the love tank in order to, there's a whole bunch of information behind that, but we're aware of it and we talk about it. I think that's the key part of it, but no, being married, I think, is fantastic. I think, we both enjoy each other still.
Yeah.
So there's a moment where we're, we're missing each other even in a regular day and stuff. So it's nice to get home and have someone that's there. It's really comforting for me, and I like the stability of that. With our commitment, she's not going anywhere. Neither am I.
And it's a different lifestyle. I think probably what's so important, and I'm sure you are well aware of it, is that the commitment has got to be so heavy duty that come H or high water, you're hanging in there. And I think that, that's missing in a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
There's a physical draw and all this, and even if they hang on and overcome all of that and get married the proper way, they didn't work on this commitment, which has to be set up so that we kind of see it as the mountain that's not climbable. Where everything else is molehills, if the commitment's there, and nothing's going to break it,
Yeah, and with my history coming into it, I've a sex addiction past, through recovery, being able to get clean from that and sober, for me, it was all or nothing. So it's always been that decision, and there's no plan B, because if I have a little inch on a plan B, I'm going to destroy the whole plan A. So, that's how it's been very direct for me to kind of just go, okay, I'm pot committed here, and I've got everything in the table, and that's the opportunity to get hurt a lot of the time too, because everything's out there, and you can get rejected and things like this that can happen from it. But for me, there's no second chance. It's just everything in the middle of the table. It's an interesting place to stand.
It is, and it's interesting you should say no plan B, because we've had another fellow on the jail, remember, Lloyd, Lloyd's been on several times in the last little while, and you know, he's openly said so on the air, so I'll repeat it. He's maybe 15 months into sobriety from his area of concern and so on. And he always says, no, I can't have, you know, there is no plan B, because everybody is telling him, yeah, but, you know, what if that and what if that? And he says, no, there, I can't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, if I, you know, and he was, I think in many ways, trying to articulate what you just did, and that the plan B is just a way out for him and back into, relapse of sorts. You know? And that's kind of neat to hear, because most of us, you know, we want security backed up by security backed up by security. But if you're sort of saying, I'm going to walk the edge, but I'm going to stay on the edge, I'm not falling off, mm-hmm. because that's all there is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you go from making it to gone.
Right.
So, you know, that's heavy.
Right. And that's why you need people in your life, and you got to have the right support and information to make sure you're on that straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings up a good point, because we're talking about how do you hurt someone that you love, or how do you demonstrate your love in a hurtful way when you just know absolutely it's the right thing to do. Let's just use the word saying no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you say no to the most precious commodity of person, spouse, wife, lover, whatever, in a way that you know it's going to hurt, and yet not only you know it's going to hurt, you're going to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be bent out of shape because that person. How do you do that?
Yeah, and you need context for sure to try to get the full picture. But I think there's just kind of two examples that come to mind for me, and it's when dealing with a friend. Depending on that friend, I might ask them or speak to them differently. So some friends you might say, hey, and you give them a punch on the arm as a guy and say, yo, you got to figure this out. Can't believe you're doing this again. And not in a shaming way, but in a way that's like, I'm confronting you as a brother, but I'm going to challenge you by saying you're better than this. And then it's just, they have a higher expectation of themselves. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, wow, like, this person thinks that I'm deserving of so much more. Mm-hmm. We got a friend that maybe doesn't have the same confidence, and I'm going to come under and try to say approach it differently. Mm-hmm. And I also think with a male-female relationship, there's a lot more sensitivity to how I deliver this is more important than what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
The tone, the way it's brought up, really, really important, because at the end of the day, if you know it's going to hurt like a Band-Aid, you do want to rip that thing off, and you want to give that wound air and make sure it can heal. Mm-hmm. But you ultimately are going to be hurting them. So how you approach that is really, really, it's not easy. I don't think any of this is easy.
No. It's delicate. Mm-hmm. And I'm not delicate, just for instance. Mm. You know, I mean, I try to be, and I can be loving, I can be quiet, I can be gentle, but that's it.
Okay, right.
You know, and I don't know, it really is a tough place, and, you know, to say no without emotion mm-hmm. to back it up, in my mind, and maybe in a human mind, kind of takes away from reality, because, you know, we always talk feelings, like everything's about feelings, although we know, you know, if I have one little piece of wisdom, it's just that my feelings better not be the criterion for all my decisions in this life, or I'm going to be in big, big trouble. But how do you do that in, especially young, lustful love, where you're only a year into it or less or whatever, you know what I mean? Like that's, and with your background, I mean, that's gotta be horrific.
We talk about this, and this is the fatherly role. I'm at the beginning of learning this.
Yeah.
But we talk about it with our men's group and young relationships, Christian men with women, and, they have value systems that they're making sure that they're honoring. Mm-hmm. But putting yourself in the right position to make the right decision is really important, you know, where you're having these relationships. So we have a back conversation, mm-hmm. but ultimately I think in each relationship it comes down to saying no mm-hmm. without making the person feel like you're not interested. because that's the balance in that when it's coming down to, morality and making sure that you're supporting this woman and you're respecting her. Again, it's, when that relationship is a Christian relationship or whatever your belief system is that says, look, we're waiting and we're going to abstain before we're getting married. But that conversation is very easy to make it seem like I'm not interested in you and I'm not attracted to you, but you're, so the communication's huge where it's actually not, you're actually protecting something for both of you. And then in the moment, it might get offensive where some, oh wow, I'm feeling rejected. But usually in reflection, it's like, oh wow, like this, this is a man that's actually respecting me. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't, if it backfires, then she's not right for you.
Yeah. That's just,
that's kind of my side of it. If she, if it backfires and she's not respecting that for you or vice versa, he's not respecting that for you and your relationship, then you know what you need to be really thinking about, is this the person that I want to spend time with? Because that is your boundary that you've set.
Yeah.
And this goes for everybody with, that has different boundaries that you just don't go in certain places. And if they're not respecting your boundaries, then that is a big open door to a whole bunch of other things that can go wrong.
And you know, you, like extremism has got to come into that because most of us, especially those who've, you know, been or are, addicts or compulsive people or, codependents, you know, control issues. I mean, we're extreme. We go one way or the other. Like you said, all or nothing. So, you know, I'm walking the edge of the cliff because I can walk nowhere else in safety. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, the edge of the cliff is, you know, where you have to be safe or you're done.
Yeah.
And that's the reality, but that's almost black. It's almost totally codependent. You know, the whole area of codependency out there, you know, it's no shades of gray. It's black or white. And I think only, you know, the Almighty can profess to be able to do that.
Mm.
So, you know, where do we go from there? But, you know, anyway, with those thoughts in mind, I think we're going to take a quick break and going to let our man Jason over there decide whether he wants to pay bills, sing songs, bring on an entertainer. What are you going to do, Jay?
Well, I think it's time to pay those bills, Scott, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.